Hello, this is Katie McCormick. I'm here at the Burns Library Irish Music Center talking with Seamus Connolly, and Beth Sweeney is here with us as well. It's Friday, November 21st, 2003. We're talking about a set of recordings that Seamus has so kindly donated to the Irish Music Center this afternoon. And right now I'd like to talk a little bit about Dat 4, which is a Paddy Canny recording, I believe, Seamus, from 1958. And I wondered if you could start again by maybe telling our listeners a little bit about Paddy Canny and his influence and importance in Irish music, and then how you came to get this particular recording and the circumstances of it.
Okay, Paddy Canny came from Kiltannan in Tulla, County Clare, near the Fecal area, East Clare, not far from where I grew up. But at that time, it was a long ways from where I grew up, you know, maybe 20 miles. And when you wouldn't have a car, we didn't have a car. I didn't have a car in my childhood, or my parents didn't have a car. So the only time I would have heard Paddy Canny playing would have been on radio, or maybe a few years later, after I began to go to the Flann Ó Ceoil, which are the national music competitions, I met Paddy Canny, and I heard him playing with the Tolly Cayley band and on different occasions. But this recording here was made in Tulla at the Commercial Hotel, a recording of Paddy Canny, who later became one of my heroes, and Sean Reid on the piano, another hero of mine. Sean Reid also played with the Tolly Cayley band. He came from, I think, Derry in Northern Ireland, or Tyrone, one of those counties, one of those up there. He was a piper and a fiddler and a piano player. And he was very much involved in the, I can't remember the name of the association. Well, they were affiliated with the Gaelic Athletic Association. cross-country running, the N something, I forget the name of it. But Sean Reid was very much involved in that. He was a very, very busy man, and he was also the county council engineer for County Clare, you know, with his offices in Ennis. But his main love was, of course, the music, and I think the running as well. Lovely man. He brought me to competitions on many occasions. He'd come and pick me up all the way down from Ennis and County Clare, which would be like 65 miles out of the way, just to bring me, you know. As I said, we didn't have a car. But on this occasion, he got together with Paddy Canny at the Commercial Hotel in May of 1958. And I remember it was May. I know that it was May because I got the tape in May. And why was it May? How can I remember? It was the long holiday weekend was called Pentecost weekend, Pentecost Sunday. That was in May at the time. And they used to have the beginning of June. And they used to hold the All-Ireland competitions at that time. They moved them then to August, because the Flann Ó Ceoil became very popular, and there was some undesired people would be at the Flann Ó Ceoil, particularly from the cities, and they would come down for weekends of drinking and just carousing and carrying on. And the national organization, Comhaltas Ceoiltóireann, were opposed to this, and didn't want to see it happening. And back in the 60s, there was all sort of riots and everything at the Flann Ó Ceoil, cars being turned upside down, and, you know, fires and all sorts of fighting and everything. And so they moved it then to the end of August, and that made a big difference, because people, it wasn't a long bank holiday, as they call it, a three-day weekend. People had to be back to work on Sunday night, and so it stopped a lot of undesirables from coming, you know. Strange way to begin a tape, isn't it?
That's a great story.
Yeah, but it was true, and they're facts, and so there's no point in hiding those facts. And so I remember that well because I was at the Flag Cuil in May. But the man who recorded this, his name was Johnny Byrnes, John Byrnes, B-Y-R-N-E-S, and he came from Oranmore in County Galway. And he lived in Dublin, and he was a great collector of Irish traditional music, and had his tape recorder with him wherever there was a music session going on. He always had with him a big Grundig reel-to-reel tape recorder, you know, and he got top quality recordings, as this one is, you know. And he had given me a copy of it, and then down through the years, for some reason, the music was only on one side. And I think I was telling you the other day about, you know, not having money and the tape recorders not being up to snuff. And so I recorded something on the back of it, thinking that I wasn't going to interfere with what was on the other side, but the heads were out of alignment. And so when I played back Paddy Kenny's track, I could hear other music in the background as well. And vice versa, when I played what I recorded, I could hear Paddy Kenny coming out, you know. So I was really upset about this, but I kept it and I saved it and I still enjoyed it. A couple of years ago, back I think maybe the late 90s, 99 or something, Paddy Kenny brought out a beautiful record. I think he was 80 years old or something like that, 81. And just lovely music on it. And I got to thinking, wouldn't it be great if people could hear Paddy Kenny when he was younger? You know? And knowing that I had this tape, I wondered if Johnny Byrnes would ever have this recording. And so I got on the phone and I had a number for him. I tracked him down and I said, "Hello, Johnny, how are you? Who's this?" Seamus Connolly. "Oh my God," you know, the usual. He said, "You'd never know what I'm doing now, would you?" I said, "No." He said, "I'm pulling out all my old tapes again, all the old reel-to-reels, and I'm just listening to them." Well, I said, "John, that's what I'm calling you about. I said, I'm ringing you up to know, could I borrow that tape that you had of Paddy Kenny and Sean Reid that you gave to me that was made in Tulla?" He said, Why do you want that?" Well, he said, "I'd love Paddy Kenny to hear a copy of it. He never heard it. I was telling him about it." "Sure, I'll send it off to you." He sent it off to me on the conditions that I'd make a tape for him, mm-hmm. you know. He didn't have a CD player at the time. I don't think he even knew what a CD player was. And this was only a couple of years ago now, you know. But so I got the tape and I brought it into a studio here, a professional recording studio, and had the tape copied onto a CD. And then I made a cassette copy for Johnny Byrnes and sent it back to him with his original. And so we had a digitized copy then from analog to digital. And I brought the copy to Paddy Kenny in the hope that maybe someday that this might be re-released as a CD, because there's enough of material on this tape here to have it be released as a CD. They still have it. The Kenny family still have it. Thank God Paddy is still alive with us. I don't think he'll ever make another CD, so it would be wonderful if he brought out a CD of when he was, say, late 40s, early 50s, you know, of his playing. Just a wonderful player, and as I said, he was a hero of mine, as Sean Reid was. Also on this tape, at the end of it, you can hear Pather O'Loughlin, or Peter O'Loughlin, joining Paddy Kenny on flute. Mm-hmm. And the three of these musicians were members of the Tully Cayley Band. The tape begins with Paddy Kenny and Sean Reid playing Garrett Barry's jig. Garrett Barry was a piper from County Clare. He was born in the 1800s. And I once heard Paddy Willie Clancy, the piper, talking about him, that he was a great influence on Gilbert Clancy, who was Willie Clancy's father. His piping style, Willie Clancy, Gilbert Clancy was very influenced by Garrett Barry's piping. Garrett Barry died in the Ennis Diamond Hospital in County Clare in 1912. So there's a long history there. So that's who Garibaldi was. Lovely playing by Paddy Kenny. Then he goes on and plays another jig. And then he plays Andy McGann's reel. Andy McGann was like another hero of mine from New York. And on an occasion in 1972, when I came over for my first trip, I had the honor of meeting Andy and hearing him playing. And Andy was gracious and made some wonderful recordings for me as well. So Andy McGann was one of my heroes. Apparently Andy McGann didn't compose this tune. It was composed by Lad O'Byrne, who was a contemporary of Michael Coleman. Younger than Michael Coleman, but the relationship was that apparently Lad O'Byrne's father taught some music to Michael Coleman, Philip O'Byrne. And in fact, Michael Coleman recorded a tune called Philip O'Byrne's Delight. And that was Lad O'Byrne's father. And he Lad O'Byrne composed the tune Andy McGann, named it for Andy McGann, Andy McGann's Reel. And then, you know, the track goes on, and then you can hear a voiceover, you know. And now we have Mr. John Reed on the piano, which of course was Sean Reed. And then Sean Reed plays The Blackbird, which is a beautiful air, lovely setting of The Blackbird. And he goes on to say, now we're going to have Mr. John Reed on the piano and Mr. Patrick Kenny on the violin, he says, you know. I just think it's so precious, you know. Uh-huh. Mr. John Reed on the piano and Mr. Patrick Kenny on the violin. Just thought it was lovely. That course came after Sean Reed's Blackbird. And then they went on to play composition of Sean Ryan, the fiddle player from County Tipperary. And then there's another voiceover you can hear. This is wonderful. Again, it's, like I said, it's very precious. You can hear them saying, somebody was saying, we have here now in, and there's a pause, in that. Then he asks a question, what kind of a hotel is in Tulla? And then he says, the commercial hotel in Tulla, owned by Mr. John Minogue. Of course, you all know. And as part, as in the past, we have Mr. John Reed on the piano and Mr. Patrick Kenny on the violin. It's just so lovely to hear all this stuff, you know. I told you I treasured this tape, you know. He played Sean Secure or John in the Fog. Interesting, Katie, that these tunes, even though they were played in Ireland, they were also played in America, yeah. You know. And they made their way back and forth. They were played in America and played in Ireland. So there was that connection going on all the time, back and forth across the Atlantic. And it's interesting that some of the great solo fiddlers always played pretty much the same repertoire, mm-hmm. You know. I thought that was an interesting fact. Michael Coleman recorded a tune called Murray's Fancy, a wonderful hornpipe. I think our listeners will be really interested in listening to Paddy Kenny's version. I just think it's beautiful. Very, very, very beautiful, you know.
What is it about, you said earlier that Paddy Kenny was one of your heroes, and I'm again kind of wondering, what is it about his style, his playing, his versions of tunes that really sets him apart from other players for you?
His versions of tunes and his interpretation of the tunes would have been very common to East Clare. Mm-hmm. You know, I had been listening to the music of County Sligo, the old masters, because my father brought home old 78 recordings for me. And then when I heard Paddy Kenny playing, it was something different altogether.
Mm-hmm. What is the East Clare style?
It's much slower, mm-hmm. Much slower. Not as, I suppose, as complex, as complex as the fiddling of, say, Michael Coleman, but yet very complex, mm-hmm. You know, in another sense. He was doing the same things as Coleman was, but in a different way. You know, they're very complex. His arrangements of the tunes were similar to Coleman's, but yet different, mm-hmm. You know. There were tunes that probably were arrangements of tunes that were common to that area. He incorporated some of the Coleman technique and the Coleman ornamentation in his playing, as did all of that generation, as did my generation. But we went and listened to the recordings of Sean Maguire later, who came along on sort of more cleaner sounding recordings. We didn't hear the scratches. Maguire came at the beginning of the LP era, you know. Mm-hmm. He did record at the end of the 78 era. But we were able to hear it better because the old 78s got very scratchy, although I didn't mind the scratches so much. It didn't bother me. It was the music I was listening to. But there were similarities in style, but I think that there was less ornamentation in the East Clare music, and there was a lot of quarter notes that were broken down into 2/8 notes, which appeared and appears to many people as being a slide, where it's not, it's a technique that's applied with the bow. It seems like this fellow is sliding, but it's not. It's putting the finger underneath it and slurring the two notes in with the bow, and you end up with three notes. You might end up with, say, a figuration of, say, in real time, 4/4 or whatever. Supposing the last note of the phrase was, say, F sharp, and the next note was a quarter note. So they would break down the quarter note and put F sharp before it and put two. You'd have F sharp. Supposing the quarter note was G, so they'd break down the G and put F sharp in front of it, and then the other half of the bar had F sharp in front of it. So you ended up like this. So it looked like a slide, but it's the same note being played twice with the bow that made it sound like a slide. You know, so it was really interesting. So it's very common to County Clare. But a lot of people are mistakenly think it's a slide, whereas not. It's a different approach altogether. Sometimes there are slides, but that particular thing that Paddy Kenny was noted for, you know. You can hear Martin Hayes doing the same thing in his playing. Very, very common. And Martin probably learned it from his father, PJ, you know, PJ Hayes, who was a colleague of Paddy Kenny's, you know. So I hope that answers your question.
Yes, it does. Thank you so much.
A wonderful tape, you know. They play Paddy on the Turnpike, which of course was recorded by Michael Corman as well, you know. Again, you know, as I said, all these master musicians seem to have the same kind of a repertoire, you know. Paddy Kenny, you can hear him sort of tuning up and warming up, and he says, "Togama," which means that's lovely. He was satisfied with his tuning, you know. You can even say, "Togama," that means that's good. That's good enough, you know, that's lovely, you know. And then I made a reference to on an earlier interview of the music of Eleanor Kane. She played the Groves hornpipe. Well, on this recording of Paddy Kenny and Sean Reid, they both played that as well. Just the very same version, almost identical to what Eleanor had played. It's just so lovely, you know. And they played a reel. What is it that appeared in the Coleman collection? I'm trying to think. I kind of know it, he says. I kind of know. You can hear Paddy saying. Now, when I say the Coleman collection, this was the recordings of most of the records that Michael Coleman ever did that was compiled by Harry Bradshaw from Dublin. And Paddy Kenny played a reel on there that was, a reel that was unaccompanied. Wasn't a recorded in a studio. It was done on a private recording machine somewhere in the Bronx in New York. And it goes dum de dum de da 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 da. Very same tune as Coleman played. But I don't know where Paddy Kenny learned it, but the verses were very, very similar. Because this tape was made in 1958. But the recording of the private record of Coleman didn't come out until the 1990s. So it was interesting that the Paddy Kenny version that appears on this recording, this machine here, and the Michael Coleman version done years earlier were the same, you know. Now, whether that record made its way back in the 40s or even the 30s back to Clare, I have somehow doubt that, though, you know. You know, I just think it's the transmission of the music back and forth across the Atlantic, you know. Paddy Kenny also played another tune that Johnny McGreevy played on the tape we talked about, the Aggie White's reel, you know. And playing this reel with him was Sean Reed, or Padraig O'Loughlin. Apparently Sean Reed had left for the night. He probably had to get up for work early. I'm sure this session went on late. And then they played a real Rattigan's reel, not to be confused with Larry Redigan. You know, a lot of people confuse that name, Rattigan and Redigan. You know, it's R-A-T-T-I-G-A-N, Rattigan. Whereas he, for the fiddler in New York, was Larry Redigan, or E-D-I-C-A-N. So, great, great reel. And then a tune again that Johnny McGreevy played, you know, on that visit that I made to Chicago in 1972. They played the Steam Packet. And this was recorded by the piper that I mentioned on that other recording, Piper Patsy Toohey. I'll have a drink of water, Katie.
Go right ahead.
And then Paddy Kenny does a solo fiddle piece, a composition of Sean Ryan's. And this on the CD is track 24. But it's also interesting to hear that it's the same track as number 8, same tune as on track number 8. Mm. So there was a particular repertoire that musicians always played when they were being recorded. Yeah, interestingly enough.
Yeah. Why do you think that was?
Probably because they knew the tunes and they were familiar with them, and you know, they wanted to probably do the best that they could. Interestingly, he played a lovely Garrett Barry's jig as well, and that was the very same tune as on track number 1.
Yep.
And that was a solo that he did at that time. He again played Lord Gordon's reel, like Johnny McGreevy did on the McGreevy collection. And he played a tune then called Farewell to Ireland, a tune that was recorded by fiddler Frank O'Higgins. And then there's a voiceover on the tape coming near the very end of it by Johnny Burns, the man who recorded this. He said, the next one is called Farewell to Leitrim. That was Farewell to Ireland, he said. Next one is Farewell to Leitrim. And Paddy Kenny does a solo, the Farewell to Leitrim. And then the last track on the record is the Mullingar Lee. But would be wonderful, as I said at the outset here, Katie, if some of this music could find its way out into the general public so that they could hear it. There's enough of material on this, I think, would be lovely if hopefully someday that will happen, you know. But as I said, Sean Reed was one of my heroes, and Paddy Kenny was one of my heroes. And Padraig O'Loughlin was too, and still is. We had Padraig O'Loughlin here at Gaelic Roots at Boston College here a few years ago. Wonderful music, traditional music from East Clare, and these are the people who kept it alive when it wasn't easy to keep music alive either.
Are there many, you mentioned Martin Hayes earlier, and I'm wondering, that the East Clare style is common among, you know, East Clare players, but do you see young players playing like Paddy Kenny these days besides Martin Hayes?
There are players emulating Martin Hayes, and that's a lovely thing too, you know. Martin is a great master of this music, and it's wonderful to know that he's preserving this style, because it is a wonderful style of playing. There were some great players back in East Clare. There was a piper, a wonderful piper that lived near me, Martin Rochford.
Mm-hmm.
He lived in Bodaig. And in fact, my grandmother came from Bodaig, and her name was Rochford. So we may be related, you know. Martin and I often spoke about that. There was Joe Bann from Tulla, a tin whistle player, great, great player. And then there's younger musicians in the Tulla area. There's Mary McNamara, a wonderful concertina player, and Mary preserves the East Clare tradition of playing, you know. Simple melodic tunes, but beautiful, and sometimes the simple ones can be nicer, you know. And so there's a great effort now, I think, at trying to preserve these old tunes, and Mary Mack is doing great work in passing on the tradition with her classes, and I think she has like over 400 students in back there in East Clare, you know. So that's the tape, the music of Paddy Kenny and Padraig O'Loughlin. Of course, these two great players, Paddy Kenny and Padraig O'Loughlin, recorded on a famous album that was just re-released there a couple of years ago, a record that came out in the early 60s at the advent of the LPs. a recording called All Hour and Champions, which had on there Bridie Lafferty on piano, a piano player from Dublin, PJ Hayes, the father of Martin Hayes, mm-hmm. fiddler, Paddy Kenny fiddle, and Peter O'Loughlin on the flute. And the interesting thing about this record, Katie, was that they went up to Dublin, they rehearsed for maybe a night or two, or got together and rehearsed and went up to Dublin, went into the studio, and I think even picked some tunes in the studio and played them, and just played them once. And apparently they had to be out of the studio by a certain time, and they never got the record finished. So they had to go scouting around in Dublin the following day. They didn't want to go back down to Clare again, because, you know, coming up to Dublin was difficult at that time. So they had to search around and get another studio and another piano to finish the record the following day, you know.
Huh.
It's interesting.
It is,
you know?
Interesting.
Yeah. So that's it, Katie.
Well, Seamus, thank you very much for your time.
You're afternoon. Welcome.
This has been wonderful.
Thank you. Queen, lovely talking to you.
And we'll talk again.